Tataha Jayam Udiraye Narayanam Namaskritya Arangchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Narayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Narayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Personality of Godhead. Nama Kritya. After offering respectful obeisances. Narang Chaeva. And Narayana Rishi. Nara Uttamam. The supermost human being. Devim. The goddess. Sarasvatim, the mistress of learning. Vyasam, Vyasadev, Tataha, thereafter. Jayam, all that is meant for conquering. Udirayet, be announced. Translation, before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Can someone read it?
All the Vedic literatures and the Puranas are meant for conquering the darkest region of materialism. The living being is in a state of forgetfulness of its relation with God due to his being wholly attracted to material senses, gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relation with God. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literatures such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. All men are not equal. There are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness, others who are under the mode of passion, and others who are under the mode of ignorance. The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. Srila Suta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, and it is specially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently.
Should we read the other verse also now? Or? And that was 14, 18? Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya bhagavati yutama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Someone can read the purport.
Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of the informations of the personality of Godhead and his personality of Godhead and his pure devotee, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata, book and person are identical.
The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the manual service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Srila Narada Dev. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat therefore have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on.
Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. Nigamakalpa Toror Galitam Palam Shukumakad Amrita Dravasamyutam Pibita Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Ahuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka. And it's become even sweeter because it was spoken by Srila Shukadev Goswami. The glories of the Lord, or the pastimes of the Lord, or the teachings of the Lord are always sweet, but they become sweeter when they're repeated by another devotee just as a fruit becomes sweeter when it has been tasted by a parrot. A parrot puts his beak in the fruit. It makes the fruit sweeter. And similarly, when the pastimes of the Lord or teachings of the Lord is passed on, repeated, it becomes even sweeter. This is the principle or the mystery of disciplic succession. The disciplic succession doesn't take one further away from Krishna, but rather brings one closer to Krishna. And rather than interfering with the purity of Krishna, rather it enhances the purity of Krishna's teachings. Just as for one whose eyesight is defective, glasses help him see the object of his perception better, rather than interfering. Because without those glasses, he can't see the object very well. It's all blurry. So to understand God with our defective intelligence, our defective minds, our defective everything, is not a very easy task. Just like nowadays, you see, practically every religion that's going on in the world, they've all become impersonal, impersonalists. No one has a conception of God, except there's one conception of God I saw on the way driving a couple days ago on the billboard. He's around 58 years old. He's graying. He's graying a little bit, has a beard. Kind of well-cropped beard. That's one conception of God. But generally, the idea of God has become very blurry. Whether he's a person or not, no one is willing to say for sure, because they don't know. That's the problem without Bhagavat. That's the problem without hearing the Bhagavatam. In other words, there is no other literature like Bhagavatam. There just isn't another literature that compares to it in terms of giving information about the personality of Godhead. There are other Puranas. There are 18 Mahapuranas, and there are other Puranas too, lesser Puranas, but those great ones. But even of those great Puranas, the Bhagavad Purana is the spotless Purana, because it's meant for, I don't know, Prabhupada puts it nicely, was it for those who are not interested in they're planning to go back to Godhead? What is it? Yeah, well, we read it a minute ago, but maybe you can. Where is it? Oh, per part of the first. Okay. Yes, who are interested to get out of the material world. Because scriptures are not only meant for getting people out of the material world, they're also meant for people staying in the material world and coping with the material world, and maybe gradually, eventually getting out. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The scriptures also give information about dharma, occupational duties or religion, artha, economic development, dharma, artha, kama, sense gratification, and liberation. And people are generally interested in those things. And that moksha may not be even the Vaishnava moksha. That may be impersonal moksha, where one thinks that he becomes saved by merging into the existence of the Lord. But Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching one how to get out of the material world altogether, and nothing else. As you may know, the Bhagavatam was spoken by Vyasadeva at the instruction of his spiritual master, Srila Narad Muni, because Vyasadeva, having written so many other Vedic literatures, including the four Vedas and Vedanta Sutra and many other scriptures, he was still despondent, and he asked his spiritual master why. His spiritual master told him, because you have not specifically glorified the Lord sufficiently. People may misunderstand what you've presented thus far. They may get confused, and we see that people often do get confused about what the purpose of the Vedas is. If one reads the Rig Veda, then there's a lot of glorification of going to the heavenly planets, and demigods are glorified. It can be quite confusing. Should one worship this demigod or that demigod? What's the goal? But Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very difficult to misunderstand, especially when it's presented by person Bhagavat. When it's presented by a person Bhagavat who is self-realized, who understands the Bhagavatam, then it becomes very, very easy to understand. And the result is that one develops love for Krishna. If he already has love for Krishna, then it grows. And if he doesn't have any, then he'll develop it, because it makes so much sense that Krishna should be worshipped and that God is Krishna. And it makes so much sense that he would be all-attractive and all-powerful and all-famous and all-wealthy and all-wise and all-renounced. It makes perfect sense, and comes to life, so to speak. Otherwise, we have some very vague conception of God, and our devotion is also very lackluster, very foggy. They say, well, what can you do? How can you think of God all the time? The impersonalists have a big problem with that. How can you think of God all the time? Well, what's there to think about? You don't know what he looks like. You don't know what he does. When Prabhupada came to Portland, he was preaching to the predominantly Christian city people that we're giving information who God is, what His name is, His address, His mother's name. So, this is from Bhagavatam that we're getting this information. The most authoritative. The 10th canto of Bhagavatam describes His life, His activities on this planet, and describes His appearance, His mother, His father, His cows, and His friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, all throughout. So, you would think that people who are interested in God would have some interest in this topic, since you'd think that hearing about God would be more of a priority than hearing about all those who are not God. But because it's such a contaminated age that people's intelligence is so polluted that they'd rather hear about these non-godly people than hear about God. So it's Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hubututa. It's a very bad age, Kali Yuga. But nevertheless, Krishna Swadamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisaha Kalo Nasta Dushamesha Purana Ko Dunotita. Bhagavatam has arisen just like the sun for dispelling the darkness of the age of Kali. Persons who are suffering can get light from this Purana. So they read their newspaper every day. How many newspapers are being published and distributed and read? Some people, they can't even imagine doing anything without reading the newspaper first. They think that this will prepare them for meeting another day. In the same way that there are devotees, hopefully among which this group is counted, that they can't even imagine trying to meet a day without hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the news of the spiritual world. This is the news how to get out of the spiritual world. It's like if you were flying in an airplane, you were the pilot, and it was extremely foggy, and there was a terrible storm. Foggy, storm, everything. Well, you would be very eager to see and to hear what was coming on the radio from the control tower. You'd be extremely attentive, isn't it? You wouldn't be doing anything else. You know, checking, reading your, you know, some other newspaper or some other thing. You would be very interested to hear every word they had to say. You'd be hanging on every word because you're in such a dangerous situation that you need that direction. Otherwise, you're lost. So we need the direction of Bhagavatam every day to get us through. Another day we may say, well, yeah, not that important. I know how to get through the day. This day is just like the last day, and I already heard Bhagavatam anyway. Heard it before. And no. It acts in ways that we can't perceive. We can't necessarily perceive how the Bhagavatam is purifying us, just like we can't perceive how medicine is purifying us when we have some disease. Can you feel the medicine doing its thing? Not necessarily. because we don't have that. But we have trust. We trust what the doctor says. The doctor says this medicine will do it. Will free you from the disease. So similarly, the doctors, Vyasadev, Narad Muni, Krishna, Shukadev, Suta Goswami, they're all telling us that Bhagavatam is the medicine for curing our disease. And we may not realize how it's curing the disease, but if we don't take it, then the disease will remain. And that disease means we will think we're not diseased. That's the great disease, that we think that we're doing fine in this material world. Everything's great. We're solving all the problems. We've gotten rid of the flu. We have a flu vaccine now that we take at the drugstore. And things are great. Our cars are getting better. Our computers are getting smaller. Everything's just wonderful. Diseases are being conquered one after the other. We took care of polio before, and our next enemy will also be killed. So much is ours today, and so much it will increase in the future, more and more. So, that's our disease. We're content to stay here, thinking that everything's all right. But everything's not all right, because it's like a deer who's peacefully eating its grass, thinking that everything is fine, but doesn't know that he's being stalked by a hunter, and that behind him is also a tiger. He's oblivious to the tiger of death and the hunter of death, and he's being stalked. Similarly, we're oblivious to the fact that death is waiting at any moment to take us away. And what are we going to do about that? Are we ready to go? And do we know what happens after death? Do we know? So these are the things that need to be understood. What is life all about? What is death? What happens after death? Is there life after death? Without knowing that, and putting all of our faith in trying to enjoy for the now, without considering the future, could be a great mistake. In other words, if I do things now for pleasure that will cause me suffering in the future, shouldn't I know about that? Isn't it worthwhile to find out? Yes, it is, but generally we don't care. And not only that, but how long is our life that we're putting everything into trying to enjoy for this life? How long is it? 100 years maximum. How long is 100 years in comparison with eternity or eternal time? Such a small time. But yet, what we do in this lifetime can have serious effects on our future. So Bhagavatam gives us all the information that we need to perfect our lives, to live happily in this life, and afterwards to enjoy spiritual life in the spiritual world forever teaches us that there are spiritual planets. There is God who's really worth, he really fulfills the title. And people are kind of so cynical. They say, well, what kind of God could he be? I mean, how great could he really be? You know, we thought such and such was great, then he disappointed us, and that president disappointed us, and that movie star, she became old, she disappointed us. Everyone's disappointing. We've become so cynical and so, well, I don't think that there's anything that can be that great that goes on. Because we're thinking materially, and we've just become so, you know, lost-hearted. There's nothing. And churches don't do much to review or to revive our hope. Because we need to know about that personality of God, and we need to actually know about him, how great he is. And also we need to know that we shouldn't get trapped in trying to enjoy this material world. Because you can't do both. You can't enjoy the material world and at the same time be able to relish the spiritual world, or make, if you want to enjoy the material world to that extent, you will be entrapped. You won't be able to get out. And to the extent that you become attracted to hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna, then you'll become detestful of the material world. Now, some people, this is painful to hear, that we have to become detestful of the material world, but we really do, because the material world will keep us from the spiritual world. If we like the material world, then we won't like the spiritual world. And if you like the spiritual world, you won't like the material world. So if you can just do a little test on yourself, how much do I like the material world? And if you say, well, lots of things I like here, then to that extent, you will have lots of things that you don't like about the spiritual world. So we'll stop there. If there's any questions, we can. Well, from the material point of view, celibacy gives one determination, practicing that. And from the spiritual point of view, chanting Hare Krishna gives one determination, because that's our spiritual strength. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us that determination also, hearing. We can't leave out that. So actually, the whole process of devotional service is meant to give one determination. So, to the degree that we follow the principles of bhakti yoga, to that extent we'll be determined. Who can say that, well, without the mercy of Srimati Tulsi Devi, I can make it? No, maybe without her mercy we might not be able to make it. We may need her mercy every day. We may need to bow down to her and touch and water her. And we may need all these things. And if we start taking them out, I'll remove this one and remove this one and remove this one. That may be enough to cause us to lose our determination to continue. I mean, at least that's, you asked me about myself. I'm afraid to delete any parts because I don't know which part, you know, I can do without, or if I can do without any of them. So I find them all quite helpful to keep going every day. Just like if I think, well, I won't take bath for a week. Maybe I can save some time, save some water. But no, my spiritual masters told me, no, you have to keep the body clean also. Even something as mundane as that, we have to take advice. Therefore, the spiritual master is essential because he tells us what the essential things are in life. Without that, we don't know. Everyone has their opinion. Well, I think this and I think that. Someone else gives his opinion. But the spiritual master, who is the person, Bhagavat, who's channeling the Bhagavat to us, the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he'll tell us what's essential for us every day. Any other? Yes? That's just by attending the class, you get almost, you can't expect to get everything just by attending because you may not be fully, you know, may just be bouncing in and not really sinking in. So it has to sink in to get out that last bit. That's pretty good. Just by being here and having it bounce, even if you don't understand the language, even if you're from a foreign language and you don't speak it, still you get almost to nil. Okay. I think, I don't know how tight are we. Okay, go ahead. We have to hear more. We have to hear more how it's disgusting. We have to analyze its disgustingness from every angle. From the top, from the side, from the bottom. We have to have a complete 3D animated view. We have to analyze the disgustingness of this material world. Threadbare. You can't think, well, I heard it was disgusting. No, how is it disgusting? What are the details of the disgustingness? You can't be afraid to get into it. You really have to get into it and analyze and take it apart and look at every disgusting thing of this material world. Otherwise, we'll just start whistling again. Everything's all right. During Bhagavatam class?
No, separately.
Oh, that's all right. After class, you can go on reading as much as you like. But for the class, Atam, yes, we want to hear within the association of devotees. It becomes enhanced. The realization is greater in the company of devotees. You had a question? Did you? Something what?
Something
many things we like to do. Like skateboarding. There's better skateboarding there. The skateboarding here is small time. So if you like to skateboard, spiritual world is for you, because do you think that Krishna would leave out some wonderful pleasure like that in a spiritual world that would be missing? Like, well, everything's great in the spiritual world. There's just one thing missing, skateboarding. Well, Krishna doesn't overlook such a detail like that. Everything's there. I remember when I joined the movement, I had one lamentation. I had more or less given up the idea that, you know, there was anything to enjoy in the material world, at least theoretically. But one thing I couldn't reconcile was giving up the Beatles. But I joined anyway. I thought, well, maybe I'll get over it. And then, to my great pleasure, I found out after a short time that the Beatles had already joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement a few years before, and I was completely satisfied. And I didn't have to give up the Beatles either. So you don't have to give up anything, but in the spiritual world, everything is just much better. Billions and trillions of times better than in the material world. I don't know. Okay, one more question. It's a reflection. Whatever there is in the mirror, there must be somewhere in reality. The mirror is just reflecting it. But because the mirror has dust and so many things, it's not as good, it's not as full, and it's not 3D like the real image. When you see an image in a mirror, does it have taste? Does it have smell? Does it have texture? Does it have all the other things that go into that image? Does it have sound? No, it's just a reflection. It's just a linear reflection. It doesn't give you all the wonderful things that the real gives you. So what we're getting in the material world is just a dim, dim reflection. Therefore, it can't carry all the wonderful experiences that we can get from the real thing in the spiritual world. It's imitation. If I give you an apple made of wax, it looks just like an apple, and you bite into it, what do you get? It's disgusting. So, but if you try to make, you know, if with your friend you say, oh, my apple's quite nice, isn't it? How's yours? You try to bolster each other's, you know, illusion. Like, mine's quite nice. Mine a little bitter, but... So we're all playing this game. We're cooperatively trying to convince each other that everything's great. That the apple, you know, my wax apple is quite nice. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to convince each other that this horrible tasting wax apple is actually really nice. And then we do promotion. If that's not enough, then we promote it and say, the best wax apple. You've got to taste it. And then we go on trying to convince ourselves. Because actually, death is waiting us at every moment. How can you be happy knowing that any moment I could die? Doesn't that ruin your day when you think about it? This could be my last day. If someone told you, this is your last day, it would be very disturbing. There's so many problems. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.